Well, that sounds okay to me. It sounds very reasonable, actually, and not, I think it's fine.
You know, I must admit that on our last search, coincidentally, those people that did not do the essay or did not do various parts of the application, I think that they didn't make the cut. If they were not thorough and could not follow instructions, nothing was said to them. But if I have two people and one of them gives lots of information, I think that just naturally there's more for me to work with, more for me to ask questions about, more to stimulate my conversation with them. So, I don't know. I have a feeling that I don't even know whether we need to even mention this, if they can't follow the instructions, I think they will be separated, the wheat from the chaff.
Well, once we list our top candidates and then we narrow it one more time, at that point we can perhaps ask them, because I think we'd be setting up interviews with them at that point, and we might tell them I like what you said, Janet, in a very diplomatic way, that we would very much appreciate your making sure that your application is complete, that you have included all of these parts.
Mm-hmm.
View your application, because we will be asking you questions, and the information that is presented in one part or another of this application will be relevant to the questions we'll ask you during the interview, and it would be to your advantage to complete everything.
Right.
To review something really nice.
Right.
And then they say, oh, okay, now I better send a cover letter, because that cover letter is going to tell them something and they might ask me a question about it.
Right.
And so, you know, that can be done, but I think it has to be to a narrower group. Like you said, Nancy, if someone just doesn't make the cut and you know for sure that they're just not there, then let's not start insisting that they include these things.
Well, how do we phrase this motion? Or do we need a motion?
I don't think we need a motion.
Just an agreement about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Just an understanding that we will accept what people have sent us, narrow down twice, and of those top remaining candidates, we will then make sure that they understand the importance of submitting paperwork, and they may want to resubmit their entire application. I mean, if you know you're one of a dozen candidates being selected, maybe you will go back and work on that cover letter.
Yeah.
If they don't at that point, well, then...
This is Tracy. Just a procedural suggestion. I agree that we don't need a motion. We should, however, have whatever agreements we make recorded in the minutes?
Yes.
So whatever needs to be done so Teresa can get this into the body of the minutes, I think would be good. There are some committee members that aren't here, and we don't want to get into competing memories about what happened or didn't happen, blah, blah, blah.
Right. So shall we say that applications will be accepted through the deadline, at which point the committee will narrow the field to the top 10 candidates.
We're just hiding.
I'm sorry, say that again?
The top candidates.
And then the committee will further consider and again narrow the list, at which point those remaining will be asked to ensure that their applications are complete according to the information at the website.
Or will be reminded to complete all elements of their application. It doesn't matter. It's really, either way is fine.
Yeah, because
it's
I mean, there might
what
be,
way do you say it? Yeah, it,
because one or two candidates might have everything in there.
Right.
And so we would just give everybody the same opportunity. This way, no one is treated differently.
Right.
And it's just an opportunity to revisit it, to make sure it's complete, and that it's a complete statement.
I'm a little bit confused. Do we have an understanding that John Cromshaw will acknowledge receipt of the newest application?
No, that it wasn't part of the motion. The issue that I was addressing here was that because I don't know what happened with the previous people, and I don't want to follow a different procedure. What I'm talking about here is simply that we would not prompt people to submit a completed application if parts are missing until after we have narrowed it down
right.
to a larger group and then further narrowed it down so that we have a final group for interviews. And at that point, they could be apprised of the importance of a complete application.
I was off the call for a bit. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Okay.
If I understand your motion, John, you're moving.
It's not a motion. Just an understanding. Not a motion. Just an understanding. But
okay,
this is how we proceed.
We're under old business B, search procedures. We have 35 applications from a previous search.
Well, actually, it's 35 electronic, but two snail mail, so it's 37.
Okay, we have 37 applications that have been acknowledged. We haven't decided whether we will notify those people and tell them that the deadline has been extended. So I'm assuming we'll get to that. We have discussed it, but we didn't reach any conclusions on that.
Well, we have already agreed that if the deadline is extended, everybody would be notified. Then in that case, everyone will be notified. And that would include our new applicants.
Is extended. Who's going to do what?
Well, I would acknowledge that the deadline has been extended.
Okay. So you will do
that? And that would be it.
Okay. Is the committee agreeing to this?
But we're not finished because you missed the main body of what we were talking about, which was that people would only be prompted to submit a complete application after we've gone through a, what shall we call this, narrowing process twice.
Okay.
Top candidates and then further narrow.
What you said was applications will be accepted through the deadline, comma, then the committee will further narrow the list, and at that point we will prompt candidates to check that all four parts of their applications have been submitted.
Well, the committee will narrow the list, then further narrow the list, because it would be two steps. If you submit, let's say, your top 10 and someone else submits their top 10, we end up with 25. Then we narrow the list and we end up with our top 12. Now, from that top 12, we proceed to prompt them or remind them of the importance of the application.
Applications will be accepted through the deadline, comma. Then the committee will narrow the list and then further narrow the list. And at that point, we will prompt candidates to check all four parts of their applications, that all four parts of their applications have been submitted.
Yes, I think that's all right.
Okay, so.
And I think we should put there that we also agree, although we did agree with it previously, that if the deadline is extended by the PNB, all candidates who have applied up to that will be notified of that new deadline. Because that would include our previous candidates and also our new candidates.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That would go at the top.
Okay, the first thing that we're agreeing to is that applications will be accepted through the deadline, comma, then the committee will narrow the list and then further narrow the list, and at that point, we will prompt candidates to check that all four parts of their applications have been submitted. And do I have an understanding that this was passed without objection?
It is not a motion. It's just an understanding. And the first part of it needs to be included, that if the deadline is extended by the PNB, that's the first part that goes at the very top.
Mm-hmm.
If the deadline is approved by the PNB, all candidates will be notified.
This is the second. This is I had it second. Okay.
No, that's at the very top. At the very top.
Let me say this, John. I've never heard in a committee that you don't, that you just have an understanding. You know, you either pass something or don't. You know, either people agree to it or they object. I don't know how to write it up, but this is an understanding. This is our understanding.
There is consensus. Lots of groups work with consensus, and we would just say there is consensus.
Well, fine.
That, and
then they need to tell the secretary that. Consensus.
I'm sorry, what?
You just need to tell the secretary that. Consensus.
Well, you were questioning how to write it up, so I'm giving you the wording that I think would work. The important thing is at the top to say, before you start any of the other, that if the PNB extends the deadline, all candidates will be notified.
This is how I've written it up in my notes. We have 37 applications from the previous search. If the deadline is extended, the candidates will be notified.
Okay.
And then I also said
Hold on. All candidates will be notified, because we don't want to notify just say that we're just notifying those 37. We're notifying everybody.
Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So just all candidates. We don't have to mention 37 or anything else.
Okay. And then I also said John Crumshaw will acknowledge receipt of newest applications. But irregardless, we need to acknowledge receipt of application.
No, that's not part of the motion. That's not part of what was said. And I think if you were listening earlier...
Now, are we going to include that?
No, I got through specifically addressing that. I don't know what happened with the previous ones, so I don't want to treat these new candidates any differently. They've submitted an application. And if they communicate with me directly asking something, I would respond to them. But otherwise, I anticipate that by the next week, they're going to get a notification from me saying that the deadline has been extended, and that will serve as their acknowledgement.
Okay. What about the applications that we've gotten right now?
Are you talking about the new ones?
The new ones. Is anybody going to acknowledge? Okay.
They would get the same notice that everybody else gets, that the deadline has been extended, which will serve as the acknowledgement.
Okay. All right. So this is how it's written. We have 37 applications from the previous search. If the deadline is extended...
Leave off the number. We don't need to say we have 37 candidates or anything else in this particular understanding, just that all candidates from the previous search and the extended search will be notified if the PNB...
All candidates from the previous search and all...
will be notified.
And
extended
all
search will
new applications applicants will be notified if the deadline is extended.
Right, and then use the same word then instead of either use candidates in both places or applicants in both cases, so there's no distinction between the two.
All candidates for Okay, candidates. I'm going to put candidates. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, all candidates from the previous search and all new candidates will be notified if the deadline is extended, period. Applications will be accepted through the deadline, then the committee will narrow the list and then further narrow the list, and at that point we will prompt candidates to check that all four parts of their applications have been submitted.
Perfect.
Okay.
Okay, that sounds good. And we just say by consensus the committee agreed.
Okay.
As long as consensus and everyone is on board with that. Okay, good. All right. The budget. Are we finished now with the search procedure? Has everything been covered that anyone would care to on that topic?
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll move on to new business, which is the budget. Okay. Then the budget. Now, I understand with you, Janet, that it was $3,000 that was added
yes.
to the amount we had.
Yes.
That's what I understood. But the maker of the motion sent it out saying a total of $3,000.
Right.
I thought it was clarified at the meeting that it was $3,000.
Me too, most definitely. Because I remember asking especially, that makes it a total of $4,000, right? And everybody said yes.
This is what I understand. We went to them asking them for a budget of $6,000, which
mm-hmm.
would have included the one that we had. They said no $3,000. So if they said no $3,000, it means instead of $6,000, we'll have $3,000. And the $3,000 would include the $1,000 we had before.
I thought that they cut our... I didn't think it was that. And I asked it at the meeting. And they
no, said, we went to them for $6,000, didn't we?
Yes, but I asked at the meeting, what did that include when we agreed to $3,000? Was it $3,000 more or $3,000 total? And they said, no, it was $4,000. It was pretty clear.
I don't know. I think we should not have been fooling around with it anyway.
Right. Well, what we can do, and I agree with you, Lisette, let's do this. We can contact Richard and get the exact wording of the motion.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever he tells us it is, because that's what was passed, and that's what he recorded as the secretary as being passed.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't have a copy yet of the minutes from that meeting, do we?
Mm-mm.
Can we just move on if we're agreeing to seek clarification from the secretary?
Absolutely.
So we move
I think
on
that
to something
right.
else.
Okay.
Absolutely. Is that all right? Is everybody on board with that? Because
yeah.
There could be an interpretation.
For clarification of the budget resolution.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No objection?
Okay. All right. So it's not a motion.
All right.
Just an item. Okay. Now.
John, can I ask a question? Why are you particular
yes.
as to whether it's a motion or not?
Because a lot of things happen just as a consensus or an agreement, and it's not necessary to make it an action item. That because I'm gonna talk to Richard and ask him, find out what the exact wording is for clarification. It's very simple, and so it doesn't require. It's not the kind of thing like,
yeah.
let's say, asking for an extension. A specific date or asking for a particular amount of money, those kinds of things would be motions. This is just sort of a consensus.
Yeah, but I find, I think we're wasting time with the distinctions we're making. We meet as a committee to make decisions. We move things on. So whether it's a motion or, what do you call it again?
Action
agreement.
It's all action items. We have to follow up on them.
Well, of course, and you're the one who suggested, you know, just get to see clarification and move on. So it's not real motion. I'll contact Richard,
okay.
and I'll just ask for the clarification, and we'll go with whatever he tells us.
Okay, thanks.
Now let's go to B, the electronic interview recommendation. Now, just a little background. I had talked with somebody who was a businessman who said, well, everybody does it through Skype. And that would be a way of reducing costs Someone on the PMV also talked about video conferencing. We could look into that. And I talked to someone who just did a job interview in Texas. He's from California, and he said that he had tried Skype before. He's a college professor, and he had tried Skype before, but that the technology doesn't always work. And he felt that a reasonable financial arrangement would be $500 if you tell a person a couple of weeks ahead of time and you allow $500 for their travel expenses. That's what he thought was reasonable, because he said a lot of colleges don't pay anything. So that's the information I have on that. And I know, Teresa, you wanted to bring this up to the committee for us to take a closer look at it. So anything you'd like to add to that?
Well, I don't like the idea of expecting the person to pay their way. I also don't like the thought of paying an exorbitant amount of money, particularly for a person that wouldn't be interested in the job anyway. And people like Bill Crozier, who was formerly on the board, knows and understands the means of getting Skype. I wouldn't know where to start. I know a friend that talks to his mother-in-law in China all the time on Skype, and Bill Crozier has Skype capability.
Most people do. Most every young person in the world does Skype.
So if we have three candidates, we would just expect them to go tell us what the number would be, so we would be hooked up. And what if we have problems? What if we are all there waiting for the interview and there's a problem? And are we expecting them to go to the station, or I don't know, how is this usually done?
Well, see, the thing is that there used to be video conferencing centers, and someone on the PNB suggested before we went to our closed session that there are video conferencing centers where people could go. We could do that. We could also look at giving someone a fixed amount of money toward their travel. If we know ahead of time who our three candidates are or five candidates are, whatever we decide on, then we would maybe forward them that amount of money, $500.
Can I say
something? That's another thought.
Can I say something?
Sure, Lisette.
Right. One, I do use Skype. I've been using it for a while now, and it's not reliable. This penny pinching thing that we suddenly embarked on, and a lot of times they're inappropriate, particularly when you are interviewing people. I'm not sure that we're taking the time to think of the image that we might be portraying if in the middle of an interview this thing breaks down. Mm. We can't hear them and they can't hear us. And, you know, an interview is a stressful thing. And to be taking chances like this, to me, could be very irresponsible, especially when we don't have a reliable backup system. Google Plus, to me, is even more reliable, but none of it, they can all... you can have problems, people could drop out, the sound could be distorted, and all that sort of stuff.
Right, and the picture's somewhat distorted, too.
And if it breaks down for one candidate and not another, then the person
yeah.
is given an unfair advantage.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
right.
if we were talking about an ordinary meeting, then it won't matter. But we inviting people... I don't like interviews at the best of times, and we don't know. I mean, they're very artificial processes anyway. And to subject somebody like that, especially when you don't expect it,
mm-hmm.
I don't think it's fair.
Will we do telephone conferences in any case?
Even that sometimes,
yeah.
we do that.
But I mean, like as a preliminary thing, a second round.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, okay.
Yeah, we would do that,
yeah.
I think. And what we did, I guess they were recorded so that people could listen to them
mm-hmm.
later.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel that what you're saying, because you know, the person who recommended this was a businessman, and he says that's the way to do it. But I think there's an image thing, and there's also a Pacifica way of telling people who we are that does not come across
mm-hmm.
on a TV screen.
Mm-hmm.
But that's
well,
feeling.
I'd like to hear
from other people on the committee. Teresa, to the stack, yes, please.
In retrospect, having listened to the interviews, the audio interviews, 2 and 3 times, I thought they were absolutely sufficient, and we ended up hiring someone, sight unseen. I mean, he could look like a one-eyed, one-eared purple people eater. I wouldn't know, but he didn't come for a face-to-face, and we hired him with based upon the audio and his resume. I don't think that this is rinky-dink. I don't think it's a matter of image. If we have a audio interview and then we try for a Skype and it doesn't work, then our fallback is an audio interview, a second audio interview. So we do have something. And I don't think the image, our image, means spending an exorbitant amount of money to fly someone in for a face-to-face interview with not much time, so we end up spending $3,000 or $4,000 on housing and airfare.
Can I just clarify something here? I thought I was speaking to Skype.
Well, what we could say is, if we have technical difficulties, we can try for Skype, and if there are technical difficulties, we can say, here's our audio number, call in, and we'll just do an audio interview.
I'm also trying to say, we need to be sensitive to people's feelings. I'm also saying that interviews are very false situations, and if we manage to make it right for one person and didn't make it for the next, it could be very unfair. So let's stick to one thing.
Well, we don't know that we would have problems with Skype. There could be problems on their end or problems on our end. I happen to know that on one of our interviews, there were some technical difficulties up front. And I thought, my first thought was, well, I won't say what my first thought was when it happened, but we ended up hiring that person. So
Who was this person?
This is for the CFO.
Well, you know, I mean, we don't know yet whether he turned out to be great or not. He just went on board today. We don't know if it was a successful way to hire. We just know we did it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we did it in the second round.
Yeah, we did it because the other people had quit.
You know, I'm not...
And we spent a lot of money because we didn't plan ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't inform people of what the salary range was. We wouldn't have had those problems with...
Right.
He would have been included in that first group because someone would have rejected it.
Right.
They would have said, I need twice as much money, so we would not have that person, and we would have had him in the group.
Maybe. I mean, maybe those people that said that salary was a problem, if we told them up front, maybe they wouldn't have had a problem with it. Maybe they were just startled. Maybe if we had given them a clue up front as to what the total was, maybe we would have adjusted up front. We don't know. But I mean, to suggest that when your friend says it's typical for people to do interviews by Skype, I think we ought to try it.
Well, as I mentioned, this is a person who is a businessman. Now, the other person I talked to, who is a college professor, said that it was totally unacceptable, that he had the difficulties that Lucette had mentioned, and that he, if it were perfectly professional and everything was done just right, which would be an audio, a special video conferencing center where they're set up professionally and they charge $100 an hour, and would have the person there for an hour, and they could be in any city. Then we have the facilities in our location where the PNV is meeting, and it's all done professionally through a recognized organization. The college professor said that would be acceptable.
I agree with the college professor. I have a friend who does this as a technology for business, does the video conferencing, does the tech for it. And it is very sophisticated what companies can afford to do in terms of hiring people, through Skype or whatever. Basically, they provide all of the services and functions. We're not in a position to do that. We're at the most amateur level of that. So we don't want to screw it up that way. We want to have the best technology, I think.
Yes, I agree with you. And I think it should be, if possible, a company that would provide services in all those cities,
mm-hmm.
if we were to go that way.
Mm-hmm.
The other alternative that
I would move that we go into executive session then.
I would like to, when is that? What are you talking about, Teresa?
I would like to move that we go into executive session right now.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
On a point of order, what do we do with this matter?
But excuse me, I was in the middle of making a statement, so the motion was not appropriate. What I was saying is that I think the committee needs to consider we're not at that point yet. We don't know how many candidates we have. We don't know where the candidates are. If the meeting is in Berkeley and everybody is within driving distance of Berkeley, it's not an issue, and we don't have to make a decision. If the meeting is in Washington, D.C., and people are all over the country, we have to then consider that. But there's also the alternative that the professor suggested, which to him was very acceptable, of giving $500, X number of dollars, toward expenses for the interview. The person then is responsible for making those arrangements. And he said that you can get almost anywhere in the country for a couple of $100 if you have a few weeks' notice.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Teresa, you had a motion, and then Lou said you have a question about it. So go ahead, Teresa.
I think that there are financial considerations, and I think we're talking about a difference of like $400 to do interviews by Skype, or $3,000 to $4,000 to fly in candidates for interviews. So I would suggest if we want to discuss further matters involving finances and whether we have the money to do this.
Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yeah.
I just lost everybody.
I think, hi, Janet.
Yeah.
Well, Janet, I had suggested $500 per person, so if we were talking about three candidates, we would have $1,500.
Yeah.
And just offer them $500 for their transportation.
That's an okay move for me, and so is the more sophisticated method of video conferencing.
Right. And I think we should look into it to get more information, that's all.
Yeah.
Because both of them would probably fit pretty close to our budget anyway.
Yeah.
Did we lose everybody else, Jenny?
I don't know.
I'm sorry. I was off the call for about a minute.
Okay. Is Tracy Rosenberg, are you still there on the call?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you, Tracy. And Lucette, are you still on the call?
Yes, I am.
Thank you.
I don't know how much longer, though.
All right. Well, I would hope that we could just finish very quickly on this issue. I just want to recommend that we... who will provide further information on the video conferencing and Skype? Because I think we need more information on that, and we need more information on a specified reduced amount for a travel budget. So who would look into, because we're not even there yet, who would look into the video conferencing? Anyone?
Well, I can ask my friend about it. He might have some idea. I can't guarantee that he really understands, you know, at our level. But he's done some work for Pacifica, so I think he might, you know where we're at anyway.
All right, Janet, that would be great if you look into video conferencing. That would be terrific.
Okay.
Is there anything further on, and of course, as we get closer and we get other information, we're going to be in a better position to understand the situation. Is there anything further on that? Because I'd like to move on to the staff handbook, and then we'll be finished.
I have a strong feeling that our next PNB meeting will be in Houston. I will be happy to ask Bill Crozier to research if there is a video conferencing facility that we can rent.
Okay. So you'll look into Houston there, Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
And... okay.
For a moment, does it silence thing pound pound one on this too?
Pound pound one, correct.
Yeah, okay.
When is the next PNB meeting? I'm talking about the in person.
It will be perhaps in August. That's what I understand, Lucette.
Okay.
Now, can we move on then to our last item under new business, which is staff handbooks?
Let me just, before we go on, what did we, I had a motion that the PNB conduct the ED candidate interviews by Skype. I'm assuming that you're saying that the committee has said no to this motion? And that basically what we've agreed to is that Teresa Allen and Janet Coleman are going to do additional research?
That we would look into the practicality of doing it because of the concerns. That would seem to me to be the thrust of the comments I've heard.
Okay.
Because I guess there's a difference between Skype and video conferencing that I think would be good for us to explore. And Janet is going to get some information. You'll have some, and we'll have a better idea.
All right. I put that down as an action item, that Coleman and Allen do research. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. And video conferencing we're talking about.
Yes.
Are we going to close session now or what? Or not?
No, I don't think so.
No.
It was only if we had to discuss the finances in detail, which I don't think we needed to, because we didn't actually get to any detailed information about
closed
finances.
Session. So what was the call for closed session earlier?
That was just to deal with the...
Sorry?
I had suggested that because if we had, as a committee, had totally disregarded the possibility of Skype, my next question was, where are we going to get the money? And I was willing to go into executive session to ask people where they thought they were going to get that money.
And how did that become a matter for executive session? Was it proprietary or personnel?
Neither.
I think it's personnel.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Who are we going to talk about?
Well, you'd have to take me into executive session for me to tell you.
Well, at this point, I think we've put that aside because we're going to take further information from what Janet and Teresa have found. So it's not necessary for us to go into those more detailed discussions. And then we can always explore
that possibility if it seems necessary at a future meeting.
Do we have anything for closed session tonight?
No.
Okay. So I'm sorry, but that...
The last item is the staff handbook, and just if you have any input on that before you go. Any input on the staff handbook? Did you hear anything, Lucette, in your station about the staff handbook?
You know, I forgot to even mention it, but we have so much on our plates right now that it didn't come up.
We are the same. We are so...
I reminded the chair, because I was one of the members who asked that it went out to the different parties, and I'm sorry I didn't follow through.
Okay, that's all right. Does anyone else have any input about the staff handbooks?
No, but I know I will. I'm just tardy in all of it. There's also so much, you know...
Fine, it's perfectly understandable. We're all in the same boat.
Yeah, right.
And so we recognize that. Okay, if there's nothing else to say further.
I would like to say, I guess I'd like Tracy to weigh in, because I would like to take what we've got and set a deadline for people to give the input.
We do have a deadline. It's May 28th.
May 28th. People've got until May
28th. And that's after the PNB meeting.
Okay, and the information and any comments and suggestions have been sent to you, John?
Any comments or suggestions will, at that time, when the email is closed down, be sent to the PNB.
Can I ask what the rush on this is? And why is it prioritized over... stations that can't even pay their staff?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't answer that. But it was a motion that was made, and the PNB asked that it be sent out, and they asked the personnel committee to do it, and they asked me to do it.
Yeah.
And right. And we have. We have situations.
I would like to say something. I think it's because we don't have an employee handbook that we have issues with people not being paid. We have had lawsuits because we're not on the same page, and we have employees that are putting things on social networks, and we have people that are conducting business in a certain way because we don't have any continuity. And it's really, really time that our employee handbooks be updated.
It's not really the responsibility of the employees here. It's our responsibility to be paying our employees.
Tracy, for the stack, if I could.
Yes, Tracy.
Okay. I just want to get back to the process, which is that we had a motion for a 30-day comment period. So we sent it out for 30 days. And we don't really have any authority as a committee to do anything other than collect the comments that we got from paid and unpaid staff in the 30-day comment period and returning them to the PNB. So I don't think that we need to debate it that much. I think we just need to do what they asked us to do, and the debate will be on the full board level.
Doug.
Me too.
Yes, go ahead.
We just extended a deadline for recruiting the ED.
Well, no, we asked for permission from the PNB to extend that deadline. They may or may not grant it.
I'm sorry. Yes, I stand corrected. We did. We asked for permission. Of course, we are a committee, but at this level, at committee level. Just like we did earlier, we can consider changes in circumstances, which are happening. Am I on the floor or not?
Yes.
We could consider changes in circumstances as are happening at BAI and WPFW.
Right.
I wouldn't support that. This handbook has been in the process of being developed since 2010. It's 2013.
Hmm.
I can't support that. Sorry.
I'm on the stack.
Yes, go ahead, Janet.
I must support it because, really, to me, the situation that's facing my colleagues here is so untenable and unendurable that if they don't have access to every outlet they can have to protest their treatment, I think that we are, you know, we're treating our workers very badly.
Can you imagine?
And for our own selves, by the way, because I mean, they're not, our paid workers aren't being paid, so it's just like, you know, it's kind of a dizzying kind of proposition that paid employees who aren't being paid should conform to some handbook. I don't think so. I think they need more time.
Well,
I think we should ask for more time.
Well, this is Teresa. I apologize for even suggesting that we address it, but I think that you two are both in error. I think Tracy's right. We've given until the 28th. I'm somewhat confused that it would be taken to the PNB level without some committee to set some sort of priorities to suggestions, you know, that have priority. You know, I mean, we might have somebody that makes comments about, you know, commas and grammar. We might have somebody that comes up with a brilliant idea about social media. We might have somebody that, you know, some other people that come up with some suggestions that just aren't practical. I hardly think we're going to hash it out item by item at the PNB level. I thought that was why it was being sent to us. But I just didn't think...
It was sent to us merely to administer it. They had to send it somewhere.
And what does administer mean?
The personnel committee. Just to make sure that the handbooks were sent out, that the people were contacted. And then the results come back to the PNB. That's the way the motion reads, and that's what we're charged with.
Well, that's kind of odd. I don't know what administer means. To me, administer means to help.
What it means is practical prioritizing
when the suggestions come in.
What it means is, just as I said, that we were the entity that was selected to make sure that the handbooks got out and that a website was, I said I would set up a website or a response email,
mm-hmm.
and then it would be forwarded to the PNB. That was the motion. That's what the PNB asked for.
Okay. Well, I don't think that the handbook situation is going to keep the foundation from paying the people at WPFW and WBAI. I think they should be able to walk and chew gum.
Well, I don't think
can I say something here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's take the BAI situation. We have some people who are not getting paid. Some of them probably can't even eat. And so we're going to ask them to take time out of that to look at a handbook to make comments. At PFW, up until last week, we didn't even know if we had office space for those people. They're packing at the moment to move. Does anybody know what it feels like to be packing to move?
Yes.
Yes.
No, a radio station packing to move. Not just a person packing.
we can go ahead, but when it gets to the PNB, I'll just deal with it there. Because I think sometimes we can be very insensitive.
All of us.
I said we.
Mm-hmm.
We is plural. And if I said we, it's the first person, it includes me too.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't need the correction.
I was agreeing with you. You know, I'm sorry about the situation at those two stations, but I think it's frustrating me that we seem to be seizing upon opportunities to bring up the issue of payroll, and I think that National is trying to do that as quickly as they can.
But they haven't done it, and so it is still a big issue, and people are reporting this to Pacifica is in a very untenable situation now with regards to its own reputation. People are reporting this lack of payment to the Department of Welfare. Does the Pacifica handbook give them room to report to the Department of Labor, to the Attorney General, to the press? I mean, what are their outlets under the terms of this handbook? I don't know, but they should be able to understand it. We're in a very difficult situation now. I am telling you, this is going to turn on a dime if they don't get their money. SAG-AFTRA is just furious about this.
Yes, and to me it reminds me very much when we were in New York and there was someone standing and every opportunity in public comment taking the opportunity to say that
Tracy has asked
me to take advantage of it.
Is it possible to get on the track?
Hello? Let's not have crosstalk here, please. Janet spoke.
Sorry.
Tracy asked to be on the stack. No, Janet, you were perfectly fine and you're in line. You were speaking. Tracy had asked to be on the stack. I want to ask you, Janet, if you have anything further you want to say. I want you to complete your thought.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Okay. Tracy, to the stack. Yes.
Okay. Pacifica already has a personnel handbook. This is an update.
Okay.
The old personnel handbook still applies. It's in force and in effect, and all of the terms that are in it still comply. Considering an updated one does not mean that there is no personnel handbook or that there are no rules or that nothing applies. It simply means that we're updating a document that, to be honest, is extremely dated and doesn't serve the people who try to operate under it any more than it does the people who administer it. I mean, it doesn't serve both sides. It's out of date, antiquated, useless, and has probably cost us millions of dollars over the past decade because of its general inadequacy. That doesn't help anybody. As far as I know, there's nothing in the personnel handbook that has to do with not reporting scenarios of a delayed payroll. I don't quite understand where that's coming from. The handbook, in fact, dictates, like all handbooks do, what the obligations are regarding payroll. And everyone is aware that Pacifica is delinquent right now. That's why we passed a motion on Thursday to liquidate a Schwab account to deal with the fact that we have many people on the payroll that we can't afford to pay. And what that has to do with is we don't have enough revenue coming in for all the people on the payroll, which has been the case at WBAI for 10 years.
I don't think that's the legal issue here. I think the issue is we didn't pay.
Janet,
have people on the payroll that can't afford
Janet, don't interrupt me. We've had people on the payroll at WBAI that we couldn't afford to pay for the better part of a decade. And there's lots of blame to go around about that, but that's the reality. The station doesn't bring in enough money to support the payroll that it's had. It hasn't for a very long time, and all of the other stations have tried to pick up the gap. It's been difficult. Janet, please stop. It's been difficult for everyone, and it hasn't been right, and it should have been stopped many years ago, and I'm sorry that it wasn't. It's
Teresa for the
a
staff.
Bad situation. But what I want to be clear about is has nothing to do with the personnel handbook, nothing at all. And in fact, if we hadn't laid out the hundreds of thousands of dollars that we've laid out because we had an outdated personnel policy, and every single time we went to court, somebody picked up that document and said, it's ridiculous, we would be in better shape. So let's try to be professional, and let's try to get people paid and then to get our expenses in line with our revenues like any adult organization does, and not make things worse than they already are. Because frankly, continuing for 5 more years with an outdated personnel policy, we might as well take another $1 million and throw it down the toilet. And we've been doing that for way too long.
Points of information.
I'm saying that we've been trying to update this policy since 2010. It's now 2013. We don't need more delays. We need less delays.
Okay, Lucette, you have a point of information?
Yes. The point of information is simply to ask, for what purpose did we extend the date
So, or did we try to get comments from the stations? What was the purpose of that?
Are you talking about the date being May 28th?
Yes. We did send a handbook out to the stations, right?
Yes. Because
for what purpose was that done?
Why was the handbook sent out to the staff?
Yes. Yes.
There was a motion on the PNB that the staff review the handbook, and so that passed. And then they said that the personnel committee would monitor that process or whatever, however they phrased it. I don't have it in front of me.
By the time
that the needed addresses were obtained and the information was forwarded, it was 28 days. I think I sent it the weekend before that, 28th
okay.
of April.
Right. I'll be on the steps after this then.
Mr. Chair.
Let's see. Did I answer your question, Lisette?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. Teresa, you were to the stack.
Mr. Chair, I move that we adjourn, and I would and after we get off stream, I would love to continue this discussion.
Okay.
What does that mean?
Well, if we adjourn,
I think that if we have a meeting that is being streamed, the meeting is streamed, and once the meeting is adjourned, it's adjourned.
When the meeting is adjourned, we can go into a conference call status, and we can discuss as board members.
We will not have decided upon whether or not to extend the deadline for the handbook, however.
Well, I'd like I'll weigh in on that. But my motion still stands. You know, Tracy and others have worked so hard on that employee handbook, and they had done all the work, and then somebody said, oh, well, you didn't ask these additional people for comment. So it was sent out, I think, not just to the people that it was agreed to, but it actually ended up in some hands of other people, and I've seen their emails saying, well, what do you think about this, and how dare you talk about this in your employee handbook? I mean, there is a limit sometimes as to how many people you can run every decision by. It's like we cannot delegate anything to anyone without somebody complaining and suggesting that the sky is falling because we're not democratic and transparent enough because we haven't asked everybody, including the janitor, every question to weigh in on everything. So we've extended it for other people to weigh in, and I think that we will end up with the best possible document, and I sincerely don't think that it will really help the foundation to extend that deadline further.
Put me on the stack.
Yes, Janet?
As I understood it, that the issue wasn't so much that everybody had to see it, but that there were certain areas of, sounded like areas where the free speech of employees was being squelched or had the possibility of being squelched, and those were areas that should really be examined, and that there were a lot of weak aspects to the handbook. Weak aspects in terms of Pacifica assuming an authoritarian position with regards to employees. And that's something I think takes a little time to digest. It might have all been done with all the best interests and hard work of a committee, but they could have been, you know, the Federalists instead of the Jeffersonians, and we should really have a chance to look at all that.
Tracy for the stack.
Okay.
Tracy.
The handbook was written originally by several attorneys with the specific intent of addressing the ridiculous amount of bogus lawsuits and settlements that the foundation has suffered over the past 10 years. And I want to make it clear that in the FRAP committee, most of the language that came from the attorneys was considerably softened up and considerably abated and considerably dropped down from where it was. So to be honest, the handbook is in fact considerably less authoritarian and considerably less, shall we say, management oriented than pretty much every attorney advised us. My guess is that when it goes through HR and legal review, which it still needs to do, that in fact there will be some recommendations to stiffen it up rather than soften it up. So just in terms of a relationship to reality here, I think that we have to understand that on the board, we are serving the interests of the foundation and the employer. And while we want to be as humane as possible, we have, you know, we have a board duty responsibility to do what's in the interests of the fiduciary benefit of the foundation. So we need to take the legal advice that we received seriously and not pander to and not pander to the issue of making everyone feel wonderful at the expense of the foundation. What I will say is that any personnel policy will be implemented with respect to circumstantial scenarios and with an emphasis to being as progressive an organization as possible. But that said, you absolutely cannot disregard every piece of legal and HR advice that you have received and really uphold your responsibility as a board member. So I really think we have to be careful here to put on our board member hat and not be casual in what we're doing. I mean, we're sitting on the board of a foundation that has lost a tremendous amount of money to what has frankly been a series of lawsuits that we should not have lost. And we really have a responsibility here to pay attention to the fact that the assets of this foundation are not ours to shit away. So I really want to just kind of caution people that that's why you have attorneys. That's why you have HR.
Did you say shit away?
I did. I did. That's why you have attorneys. That's why you have HR. That's why you ask people to help you walk a line between the responsibilities that you have and the values that, that you want to put forward. Both are important. And I really, this foundation has erred on the side of trying to win popularity contests that it can't win and not taking care of itself. And if you're asking me, that's a big reason why BAI is in the shape that it's in.
So I
really take this seriously, and I'm really offended at the idea that people don't think getting that document updated before we continue to lose our shirt isn't a humongously high priority. That's all I'm going to say.
And I would love to continue this discussion anytime, but I think it's late and we should adjourn.
I would support hearing a motion for adjournment.
I already moved that we adjourn.
And without objection.
Okay. And then what? We stay on here?
No,
we can ask Brian to.
I would say that if we have any discussion that is relevant to the committee, that it would remain on would remain being streamed, and if there is all the work related to the committee is finished, that we adjourn the committee, and those who would choose to continue having that conversation certainly would be free to, but I don't think that would be.
Well,
I don't know if that's appropriate.
There's nothing to keep us from calling into this
conference.
Thank you.
Well, yes, Tracy. All I can say is I'm one of the people that's really not up to speed on the handbook, so it's really not fair to me to even continue the argument with you about what the handbook has to offer that we can't do without because. I'm not up to speed on it, and we'll be by the next time we talk.
Shall, Janet, shall we leave that for our next meeting?
That would be okay. That would be great.
The next scheduled meeting is June 13th, and if there are any issues relevant to the handbook that people would like to raise, of course, we have the LSB meeting coming up on the 23rd. But without objection, say that this meeting is adjourned.
Our next meeting is June 10th, correct?
Good night.
Is it the 10th? Is it the 10th? I'm sorry, I misspoke then. It's June 10th.
That's what
good
it,
night.
Whatever that is, the Monday, the second Monday. The second
and we're
Monday.
On the 13th.
Yes.
Okay.
So the correct date is the second Monday, and if that second Monday is June
10th.
What, June 10th, that's the date that we're meeting. I don't have anything in front of me at this point. I'm driving.
Ah, okay.
Thank you. Good
all right.
Night.
Careful.
Right,
good night.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Good night.
Janet, would
good
you
night.
Like me to
thank
call you?
Who, Tracy?